Pay off your holiday bills with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and earn $14.50 per hour to start, plus a $200 sign-on bonus and up to $1,200 in additional bonuses over the holiday season. Be a part of an industry-leading organization that believes in promoting from within. Enjoy an active job with big-time growth opportunities. Become a warehouse worker at UPS. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/worldport. That's upsjobs.com/worldport.
Katie George here for Coil Automotive in Clarksville. Coil's Black Friday sales event is going on now. Save thousands on over 400 new Chevrolets, Buicks, and GMCs in stock and in one convenient location. Plus, on Friday, November 27th, you will have the chance to buy a 2015 Chevy Impala for $5. Yes, $5. Head over to coildeals.com for all the details and find your next car, truck, or SUV today. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckian is buying.
Come on!
Must register for a chance to purchase Impala.
Time now for The Take with James Strebel.
Mitch, you're a hunter. You're a hunter and gatherer. You're from a family of hunters and from a family of gatherers.
Yes.
I want you to get deer urine in here next week.
Yeah.
And if anyone comes in here, if Rummage walks in here with a fear of the deer,
I reach out to my guy.
There, you got a urine guy. He's getting urine. You understand that?
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, thanks to Travis Ryer from 100.9 The Tide. We got a lot going on this weekend here around ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. So let me tell you a little bit about that. Kentucky football takes on Alabama tomorrow. The Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame show with me, James Strebel, Jason Inch, and a confirmed Justin Jeffries. That'll start around 7 p.m., around 7:15 on ESPN 680, 105.7. Then that's the first place they will take your phone calls and hear live from Mark Stoops. And then on the Louisville side of things. Heck, I mean, we've got a Louisville pregame show coming up. Louisville football returns to Cardinal Stadium tonight as they take on Syracuse. The Coors Light pregame show with our guys Pat Jaggers and Heather Lynch. That's at 6 p.m., so right after this show over on 93.9 The Ville, they'll have that over here on ESPN 680, 105.7. The last show of Inside Churchill Downs of the season will be played. And then after the Orange and the Cards battle for not last place in the ACC, the Coors Light postgame show with Mark Ennis will start around 10 p.m. And that's on all stations. It's here on ESPN 680, 105.7 and over on 93.9 The Ville. First place that will take your calls. And you can hear live from Scott Satterfield as well. So a lot going on here, Mitch. We've got Louisville football tonight. You can feel the energy from Cardinal Stadium just permeating and just reverberating around the area. Can you feel it, Mitch? Can you feel the stadium?
And it's like, not only is the both teams have a bad record, but it is like a really nice day outside. It's a Friday night kickoff. Like, if it was a normal year, even if both these teams combined for 3 wins, I still think it would be a good atmosphere to go to.
It's something to do. It's like you said, it's a Friday. Louisville fans, and I don't blame them, they get a lot of these Friday night ACC games, and actually they're kind of cool. Like, you go from work to the stadium, you pull off the polo, you put on the musty Lamar Jackson t-shirt, and you're ready to roll. You got your cooler full of Coors Light, you got the burgers on the grill, you got the co-eds walking by. It's all great things, but you don't have it this year. So at least you could have had that, but it's not in the cards. It's not in the cards, no pun intended. Speaking of the cards, there was a list that came out today, Mitch, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because, A, it's funny, and, B, you have a little bit of beef with this publication, Pro Football Focus. You've had beef with them in the past.
Yes, I have. I'm not sure, like, what their reasoning for. They're very analytical. They're very statistical.
Right.
But people like to use PFF, and I know this is what you're going to do, Round Daddy. People use PFF only for one reason, to help their argument whenever it fits, you know?
Well, I mean, if you look at the top of the list, I mean, you have Trevor Lawrence number one,
okay,
by the
so
number.
These are best quarterbacks. I've seen the list. So these are, they rank every single quarterback in college football.
Yeah, 128 college football quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence, obviously, number one on that list, but I found it very interesting how the local quarterbacks measured up, and here's why. During the preseason, when we were having discussions about these teams, one of the things that Louisville fans were most confident about was number one, Malik Cunningham. You know, Mark Ennis over there on the drive talking about Dino Babers right now.
Just the quarterback room in general.
Quarterback room in general, but Malik Cunningham may be a dark horse. And it wasn't just Ennis. I'm not taking a shot at Ennis. It was Mark Richt, too, went on TV and was singing the praise of Malik Cunningham as a possible Heisman candidate. Maybe he's a guy that could be talked about going to New York. And Terry Wilson was, you know, whatever, laughed at by Louisville fans. Ha, 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 Terry Wilson. And rightfully so. I'm not here to tell you that Terry Wilson is this second coming of Tim Tebow or Tua or somebody like that, right? But Louisville fans were very chesty about their starting quarterback. They're very chesty about their quarterback room. Here's how the rankings went out. Number 39, Terry Wilson. This is what Pro Football Focus had to say about Terry. Wilson has been one of the more conservative passers in the country this season. In six starts, he has completed only 11 passes over 10 yards. Oh, downfield. And just four over 20. Wilson's 6.8 yard average depth of target is tied for the fifth lowest in the FBS. Oh, and it's well over 2 yards shy of what it was back in 2018. So he has regressed. There's no argument there. Terry Wilson has regressed. I don't know if that's because of the talent around him or Eddie Grainer / Mark Stoops play calling. This is a big reason why the Kentucky Wildcats rank only ahead of Syracuse in successful play percentage at 35%. Wilson isn't putting the ball in harm's way through the air, but there's just no explosive pass offense to speak of with him under center. I think that's all fair. It's all true. I can't argue a bit of that. But the shocking thing here, Mitch, the shocking thing, the quarterback that every Louisville fan was so confident in that Scott Satterfield is going to take to the next level, he's going to take Bobby Petrino's recruit, and he's going to make him into a superstar, make him one of the best quarterbacks in the ACC. He's 17 spots lower than Terry Wilson, not higher. He's not above Terry Wilson. He clocks in at number 56. And here's what they said about Malik. The difference in play from Cunningham in his first four games this season compared to his last four games is quite staggering. In his first four games, Cunningham's PFF grade was a lowly 56.3, but he has had his four best games of the season since, paving his way to an 87.8 PFF grade in that span. As a passer, Cunningham has nearly cut his turnover-worthy play rate in half during the second stretch and isn't giving the defense an opportunity to make plays on the ball nearly as often. We have also started to see Cunningham's athleticism shine on the ground. Just this past week, Cunningham had 11 explosive runs of 10 or more yards and 16 carries, 8 designed, 8 scrambles, the most we have recorded in a single game by a quarterback in the PFF college era. Now, here's my question. So it's saying that Malik Cunningham has gotten better as the season went on. But overall, this is the problem with Louisville's football season, right? Okay? Things may have looked a little better since what, the Notre Dame game? Do you think that's kind of when it started?
Yeah,
like
the Georgia Tech game killed all expectations for me personally.
For you.
And then the Notre Dame game was the start of they're starting to play better.
Yes. Okay.
Then you have Florida State where you actually won a game, and then Virginia Tech. Even though with the COVID and the entire defensive line coming out, you had multiple opportunities to win that game, and then the same thing with Virginia last week.
And that's been my overall point with Louisville throughout this season. They had opportunities at the beginning of the season where their schedule was stinky, was terrible, and they crapped the bed. They crapped the bed against bad teams. And when you crap the bed against bad teams, bad things accumulate, right? So Malik Cunningham has improved. I think he's gotten a little bit better. He's still turning the ball over. I'm not saying he hasn't, but he had his chance against bad teams to improve as a quarterback, improve as a player, improve as an offense, and they didn't take advantage of it. You cannot ignore that. No matter what happens tonight, no matter what happens against Wake Forest, no matter what happens against Boston College, you can't ignore the way the season started. And I'm not here to argue that Terry Wilson's a better quarterback than Malik Williams. I don't think he is. I look at the Pro Football Focus grades, and I'm not here to laugh in your face and say, ha, 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 Terry's better.
I'm still taking Malik Cunningham 7 days a week and twice on Sunday over Terry Wilson.
I would, too. Look, dude, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you. But let's not forget what Malik Cunningham started off as the season. And look, he's still making mistakes. I think he's a better passer than Terry Wilson. I think he may even be a more explosive athlete than Terry Wilson. But you know what Terry Wilson doesn't do as much as Malik Cunningham?
Turn the ball.
Fumble the football and throw interceptions. I mean, Terry's had a few this season, but not as much as Malik. Now, to be fair to Malik Cunningham, Terry Wilson did miss an entire game. I mean, I don't know what his stats would have been against Georgia. I don't think it would have been much better than what we saw from Joey Gatewood, but I think it would have been a little better than what we saw against Joey Gatewood. I mean, he did miss an entire game, so he could have been awful, and he could have turned the ball over four times. I don't know. We'll never know. He didn't play in that game. But we cannot ignore the fact that Malik Williams started the season off poorly, and everybody, every Louisville fan was so excited that the offseason that Scott Satterfield had with his guys was going to accumulate into this offensive regeneration, rebirth of Louisville. When they have visions of Lamar Jackson and Teddy Bridgewater and Brian Brom and Stephon LaFors and all these, you know, high-powered offenses they've had in the past dancing in their heads. And they're like, yeah, this is what we're going to see this year. And it just didn't happen. And I don't know if that's on Malik Cunningham. I don't know if that's on Scott Satterfield. I don't know who it's on. But you cannot erase those facts at all. When you're judging this season as a whole, you have to take that into account with everything else. And I don't know what happens tonight. I mean,
Yeah, and Texter says, and I kind of – I'm 50-50 on this statement.
Like, okay.
I can see both point of views. I hear this argument all the time when it comes with comparing Malik Cunningham to Terry Wilson. If Malik had the same line as Terry did, the stats wouldn't even be close. And although I agree, like, Malik would have better stats if he had an offensive line like Kentucky's. But even when Louisville does give Malik time – he still makes horrible decisions.
Well, I could flip that right now and say, well, if Terry Wilson had the weapons that Malik Cunningham has, that he'd have better numbers. I mean, Kentucky doesn't have Tutu Atwell and Des Fitzpatrick and Braden Smith and some of these other, you know, high-powered receivers that we've seen play very well for Louisville this season and in the past. So I can flip that right around and say, look, Kentucky's wide receiver corps is full of bums. I mean, outside of Josh Ali.
I'm just saying, like, if you go back and watch the Virginia-Louisville game, how many times were you just almost screaming, if you're a Louisville fan, screaming at the TV where Louisville gives Malik a good amount of pocket time to make a throw or a decision to run, and he either tuck it and ran or got sacked.
Yeah,
I mean he's just not a quick decision maker as a quarterback the past few weeks.
In his third season at Louisville, you would think that would be better. You would think that would be better. This isn't a new guy. This isn't a grad transfer. This isn't his first year or his second year. It's his third year. He started games as a freshman and played like very well at times as a freshman. I mean, he came in and saved a couple of games for Louisville. The only few games they won him in Indiana State as a freshman, he had to come in and save the game because Puma was so bad. But I mean, you would think year three. I think that's why Louisville fans were so high on him. And I can't blame them. You know, you have a guy third year as your starting quarterback. You have a guy second year under Scott Satterfield. He gets an entire season, first inaugural season of Satterfield, second season of the entire season. You would think, okay, yeah, things are going to get better. Things are going to improve. They just haven't. He's gotten worse. He's regressed as not only not as a passer. But I hate that because people just focus on one thing. Like, he's regressed as a passer. He's regressed as a football player. He's regressed more turnovers, less accurate. Just like you said, bad decision making on his part. He just has not gotten any better. And for Louisville, I mean, they better hope that the change that they thought was going to happen this season happens next season, because they ain't got anybody else. That you can't sell me Evan Conley. You can't sell me T. Webb. I'm sorry, we've never seen him play. We don't know. At least with Kentucky fans, you can say, well, Bo Allen at least threw a couple passes. Yeah, that looks good. Whatever. You can't sell me T. Webb because we've never seen him play. And they don't have anybody else. Who's the dude they got coming in, Mitch? You're the
T.J. Lewis.
T.J. I'm not being sold on. I'm sorry. I'm not being sold on. Now, if you had Chubba Purdy on the team, you might be able to sell me on him. Or if you had Shedeur Sanders
He's injured for the rest of the season, by the way.
Oh, is he? I didn't know that.
He's done for the season.
No, yeah. Not Chubba.
I mean, Florida State's just like, dude, they've had multiple guys opt out. They're yeah.
Who's in a worse spot, Florida State or Mississippi State?
Oh man, I think
that's a good Bet Rivers sports poll.
I'll put that up. That is a good poll.
Bet Rivers Sports.
I would say Mississippi State because I mean
49 players. Rich.
Yeah, that is bad.
Dude, Mike Leach was like the second coming of the SEC after that LSU game, man. He was on Feinbaum, and he was the Pirates back in the SEC. He's bringing the spread offense. It's like, this dude, the spread offense has been here. Have you not been paying attention? Have you been paying attention to LSU and Alabama the last few seasons? Have you not been paying attention to Dan Mullen and what he did at Mississippi State and Florida? Are you ignoring it? Everyone acted. That's you know what? That's a good point. That's really annoying. When Mike Leach, and I like Mike Leach. I think he's funny, and he's charismatic. I mean, he can be a bit of a D-bag at times, but he's overall a pretty funny dude. But when Mike Leach took that job at Mississippi State, Mitch, everybody was like, oh, the great offensive mind is bringing great offense to the SEC. He's like, bro, have you not been paying attention? Hugh Freeze was – I mean, he was – that. I think that's one of the main reasons.
Funny. Even the besides Kentucky, they've been the worst offense in the SEC, Mississippi State has.
They have been. They've been terrible.
Everyone else is just throwing up like 40 points a game, like everyone.
Everybody.
Ole Miss, Alabama, Florida.
Arkansas. I mean, even Arkansas is scoring points this season. It's everybody but Kentucky and Mississippi State and Vanderbilt. Those are the teams that, I mean, hell, Tennessee's even scoring more. Tennessee put up 48 on who am I looking at here? What team is this? No. What? They didn't beat Alabama. I don't know what I'm looking. I'm sorry. Alabama put up 48 on Tennessee. My bad. But that's what I'm saying. Like, Mike Leach has been a disaster, but I don't know who's been the bigger disaster, he or Mike Norvell. Must be the name Mike. So we'll see what the Twitter people do with that poll. That's an interesting question. Any text coming down to 437-9680? Because, I mean, that's a juicy subject. I mean, I really think that the realization – with the quarterback situation at Louisville, I doubt it will, but it should humble some Cardinal fans a little bit on Scott Satterfield's quarterback wizardry.
Texter says, I'm a Cats fan, but Cunningham is asked to do a lot more than Terry. Terry would have similar numbers if he had as much responsibility.
Yeah, no, I'm with it, and Jason Ince agrees with me. He just texted in the bat phone and said, you know, give Terry Wilson weapons like Tutu and Dez, and I don't – now Ince – Ince.
What'd he say now?
All right. This might make you throw something. I agree with the first part of this sentence, not the second part. Okay. Just let me throw that out there, Mitch. Don't get mad at me. Okay. This is what he said. Give Terry Wilson weapons like Tutu and Dez, and he's miles ahead of Cunningham. Don't shoot the messenger. I don't agree with that. Ince. But
Texter says Malik, as bad as he has played, is still way better than Wilson.
Okay, that's fine.
Texter says Terry Wilson would be hurt playing behind U of L lines compared to UK's, probably.
That's a good point. And that's what we're saying. If you could give either quarterback, maybe, I think this is fair. If you could swap Kentucky and Louisville's offensive line and give it to Malik Cunningham, he may have better numbers.
Texter says, watch TJ Lewis tape. He ain't bad. I'll be honest. I've never watched
him. Texter, you go to hell. I'm not watching TJ Lewis tape. I'm not going to sit here and what's TJ Lewis look like? Let me see. Oh, he's the number 80th quarterback. Let me watch his film against Podunk U. Or not Podunk U,
I mean,
Podunk
High School. It'll be
interesting.
I mean, I know we've talked about this on the show. Andy's brought it up. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what Louisville does in the offseason quarterback-wise if they go and try to reach out to a grad transfer or if eventually when the one-time transfer rule is approved, you know, try to go after some quarterbacks.
So is there a quarterback controversy next year with Louisville, yes or no?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if we go this entire season,
not good.
If we go this entire season without seeing T. Webb play, I don't know what that does for Louisville.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going into year four of Malik Cunningham and he's not your surefire
three, I think
no four. Because he played the Bobby Petrino crap year. He took over for Puma.
Oh yeah, you're right.
And then he played all last season except for a couple games. Evan Conley had to come in. This is year four of Malik Cunningham, and if you have a quarterback controversy with him coming back as a 4-year starter almost, that's not good. That ain't good. And you're right, Satterfield better go out and get somebody in that grad transfer. All right, Mick, you want to Mitch?
We gotta take a quick break.
Let's take a quick break. We'll get Lee Sterling in on the other end of things. This is James Strebel. Mitchell Hannigan is the take on ESPN 680 105.7.
Time now for The Take with James Strebel.
Texter says, did Emily learn now how to cut hair?
No, that's not Emily, no. Her name is Carrie.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, the NFL season continues as ESPN Louisville is once again your home for Super Bowl 55 and the exclusive home of the Baltimore Ravens and the Indianapolis Colts. Sunday, got it packed here on Sunday. Titans at Ravens, big game, 12:30 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Then you got Packers at Colts, 3:20 p.m. That's on ESPN 680 and 105.7. And then to cap off the night, Chiefs at Raiders, 7:30 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. The NFL on ESPN Louisville is presented by Caesars Southern Indiana, Papa John's, and UPS Jobs. Colts football on ESPN 680 is presented by BJ Heating and Cooling and Coil Chevrolet and BetRivers.com. Indiana's hometown sportsbook, gambling problem, call 1-800-9 with it. Lamar and the Ravens are presented by Liquor Barn, where Kentuckians go to celebrate life. Body Armor drink, sports drink only you can. Available at Kroger and the Raven. Molly Malone's St. Matthew's, the official Lamar bar all season long. That's a full slate of NFL games. And talking NFL football, college football with us, it's our guy from Paramount Sports, Lee Sterling. Lee, what's going on? How you do today, man?
Good, good. Excited for the weekend, and still got a bunch of canceled games, but we'll work our way through it. Just go with what we got.
Lee, and this is Lee Sterling. You can call anyone that calls 800-400-9741. Lee will give three football and or UFC plays to anyone that calls that number. Paramount Sports, 800-400-9741. And Lee, I mean, you said it, man. I mean, there's cancellations all over the place. It's like the college football season is just kind of limping along. The NFL season is just chugging along. I mean, they're doing great. Not a lot of issues there. But, man, you're right that this college football slate this weekend is better than it was last weekend, but it still ain't great.
Yeah. at least there hasn't been that top-tier game, you know, that's been canceled yet. But, hey, some football is better than no football.
100%, Lee. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited about, you know, some of these games this weekend. I mean, one of the most intriguing, Lee, is you have Ohio State. They're you know, they're minus 20 versus Indiana. Indiana, kind of a big story in college football. You've had some darlings like Cincinnati or BYU, but there hasn't been like a big Power 5 darling. Indiana's kind of turned into that. Now, the teams that they beat, Penn State, Michigan, that's kind of put them on the map in that top 10, have proven not to be very good at all. And they get the first real test of the season with Ohio State. How do you see that game playing out with the Buckeyes going to Indiana?
It's a great story, but I think this great story might come to an end. Why do I say that? Because their offense really isn't that great. I mean, you remember all the great plays, but they are only 89th in total offense is Indiana. So what did Ohio State do last week after their game with Maryland was canceled? Well, a lot of schools will tell kids, hey, watch yourself. Let's meet in the weight room on Saturday. Lift weights. Get stronger. No, they hold an 11-11 scrimmage. I mean, they mean business. I mean, I think that they're going to lay one on them here. And Peyton Ramsey, nice story. You know, he leaves. Now they bring in a quarterback, you know, that lefty that's doing some nice things. But the problem is, I just don't think they can. They haven't played an offense like this in Ohio State. And I think Ohio State's going to put 50-plus on them. Give me Ohio State 52-21.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I mean, Justin Fields is just an absolute beast. Yeah. And his passing statistics are otherworldly
now. He might be the best quarterback. He might be. Who knows? There's a chance I think he might go number one.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, depending on what Trevor Lawrence does, I know he's had some talks about, you know, maybe opting out the rest of the season and with DJ behind him. I mean, I think Clemson will be just fine. But, you know, not having Trevor Lawrence out there, I mean, Kyle Trask has been very good this season as well. But no one's really been as good as Justin Fields. So I'm with you on that. I could totally see him going number one overall. Lee, my Cats are taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide this weekend, traveling to Tuscaloosa. You got Alabama giving 11 here versus Kentucky. I mean, I just had an Alabama radio guy on before you, and you know, he's one that believes that Nick Saban will call off the dogs at some point. You know, Nick Saban doesn't like to put it on teams too much. So what do you see in this game? Does Alabama cover this number, and what do you see? Can Kentucky put up enough points at all to make it competitive against the Tide?
I think he might call off the dogs. And the reason I say that, you know, they have Auburn next week. It's the Iron Bowl.
Right.
So, you know, what's the difference whether he wins the game 38-13 or 48-13? Nothing. So Kentucky, I think they're going to try to shorten the game, just like they did against Georgia. I think they might have found nice running back here, and Chris Rodriguez Jr. He does a nice little Benny Snell imitation.
Yeah.
And defense is pretty solid. You know, they've held 8 of 13 opponents below 18 points here. So I think Bama's just looking ahead. I like Bama 38-13 to win the game, but Kentucky to cover.
All right. I'm with you. I'm actually with you on that, Lee. I don't think Kentucky's going to have much of a shot. I don't think you're going to look at it. And I don't think people are going to look at that score and be like, damn, Kentucky actually put up a fight. I think it's more like you said, saving things for the Iron Bowl, conserving things, making sure everyone's happy. You know, healthy, you know, Mac Jones don't have to throw 400 yards in this game. Let the running game and the offensive line do the job for you. We got a game here tonight, Lee, that I just don't know what the hell to think of at all. Louisville is getting 18 points versus Syracuse. There's three wins total between these two teams. This is a spread that I don't understand. I know Syracuse is bad, but Louisville's not much better. I mean, I guess the thing is Louisville's not getting blown out as much as Syracuse. What do you think about this game kicking off about 7 p.m. tonight?
Okay, well, two things. I think that Louisville has an edge on them here. Explosive plays, and also a better defense. And Syracuse defense really bad. I mean, they are really banged up too. So I think they're going to get up, and this is going to be the one game. This is the feel-good game of the year. So I like Louisville. I'm going to lay the 19. I'm winning this game here. 45-14.
Okay, there you go. That'll make Cardinal fans happy, Lee, and I think they'll overvalue a big win over Syracuse. But, hey, at least they got something. They haven't had much to cheer for this season, right. So at least that'll give them something. All right, we're going to move to the NFL. Kansas City, I mean, -6 versus Las Vegas. It just came across, scrolled across my screen, Lee, where the Raiders are dealing with some COVID issues. Multiple players going to be out for them. What does that do in your mind for this game against the Chiefs? Chiefs looking for revenge as the Raiders beat them in Arrowhead earlier this season.
So the Busgate.
Busgate. Yeah, the victory lap around the stadium.
If you think that the bus driver came up with the idea to drive around Arrowhead Stadium, that's not happening. That's a John Gruden production. So here's the problem for Vegas. They, in the first game, they didn't show their whole playbook, and Kansas City had not seen some of their down the field passes, their bombs, and they caught Kansas City, and they hit on some big plays. But they're going to be forewarned here. And now Kansas City is going to attack with Hill, Kelce, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of the backfield. Vegas just doesn't cover. The Raiders don't cover guys good out of the backfield. And so that's going to work for them. And I think that Mahomes is going to have a clean pocket because Raiders only have 11 sacks. So Kansas City's defense getting better, giving up 17 or fewer points in three of the last four games here. I like Kansas City, 42-23.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I agree with that 100%. Last game here we're going to talk about, I mean, two teams that kind of took it last week and are licking their wounds. The Baltimore Ravens and the Tennessee Titans, both teams, you know, lost. Titans at home, the Ravens at New England and against a resurging maybe New England Patriots team. You got Baltimore here -7 versus the Titans. You know, Lamar Jackson not having the season obviously that he had last season, not anywhere near that MVP conversation as Kyler Murray and some of those other guys are kind of taking that over. Pat Mahomes, obviously Russell Wilson in that mix as well. Lamar Jackson maybe, you know, taking a step back or teams figuring him out. You know, what's the narrative you want to go with here? What do you think about this game, Ravens and Titans, both looking for a big win this week?
So this game reminds me of the Seattle game last night. Baltimore hit rock bottom. They played New England. Those weather conditions were horrific.
Abysmal.
I mean, it wasn't a rainstorm. That was a torrential downpour.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar Jackson, you know, he's not a great passer in the rain. And it happens. The defensive line and linebackers played terrible, but like Seattle's defense isn't good, but they still have some pretty good players, and they have some pride. Same with Baltimore. So they're going to play hard. This is the game they want. They lost to the Titans in the playoffs 28-12. This is their circle game of the year.
Right.
And since Taylor Lewan's injury 5 weeks ago, they've gone, the Titans, from scoring 37 to 21 points.
Ooh.
Ryan Tannehill's gone from completing 69% of his passes to 56% of his passes. Give me Baltimore, 34-24.
All right, Lee likes the Ravens bouncing back. All right, Lee, 3-2 last week. What do you got going on for the people this week at ParamountSports.com?
So this is what we're doing. If you know, we go over the games that your listeners want to hear about. You know, they want to hear about Louisville each week, Tennessee Titans, Tennessee Vols, teams like that. But They want to get involved, and I know there's a lot of people would like to maybe try out my service. And with that, I'm going to give them 3 free games. It's Customer Appreciation Week, and I appreciate everyone who listens to the segment each week. Since I enjoy the reading the emails and the texts that I get them from them, and so I'm going to give them 3 free games on my executive phone service. So,
whoa!
No strings attached. If you want to get 3 football games or 3 UFC game selections in the fights for Saturday night, just call us. Just give us your email. We'll email you the 3 free selections. So just my way of saying thank you. I know if I go 2-1 or 3-0 for someone, they're going to probably want to come back and give me a shot. So just call 800-400-9741. And we'll give you 3 free football or UFC selections. 800-400-9741. And if you want to purchase selections for this week or next week, just go to ParamountSports.com.
That's a hell of a deal, Lee. We appreciate that. Our listeners will appreciate that. Look, man, you enjoy the man cave. You enjoy Miami. Got a lot of football being played this weekend. You have a good weekend. All right, my man?
Okay, you too. Have a great weekend. Stay safe.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, Lee. That's Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. All right. Yeah, so there we go.
45-14 Louisville score. I think, yeah, Louisville fans will probably take that tonight. I also like the Ravens play. I think the Ravens
do
bounce back against the Titans.
I do, too. He was right. I mean, I think New England's getting better. But, you know, they missed Cam Newton after he tested positive for COVID, missed some time there. I think getting him back in the offense.
I just think the Ravens just can't play during prime time. Like,
there's something to that.
Like, they just can't play prime time. They can't play, you know, playoffs as a whole, you know, other ordeal. But if it's a 1 o'clock whatever game on CBS, they'll trounce anybody they play.
They're like the anti-Seattle Seahawks. I mean, Seattle Seahawks, you know, they're now 9-1 on like Thursday night football games, and they're always good on Thursday night football, Monday night football, Sunday night football. They're at their best during the prime time. The Ravens, you're right, man. If the lights are bright for whatever reason, that team just does not perform. So I'm with you. I don't think much of Tennessee. I think he's right about Tannehill, and you know they're kind of a one man band offensively with Derrick Henry, and that's about it.
What are Kentucky fans going to think if it's like a 38-14 score?
I mean,
we scored 14 against Bama. Yay!
There's not, man. I'm going to tell you, Mitch. Just reading the room on Twitter with Kentucky fans, like they could care less about this game. I'm telling you right now, they could care less about this game. They don't care about Alabama versus Kentucky. They know it's going to happen. They're going to go to Alabama. They're going to Tuscaloosa, and they're going to get beat, and it's going to be beat bad. It might be respectable for maybe a quarter, and Nick Saban's going to do the nice thing and pat Mark Stoops on the head, and he's going to say, you know, calm down, Mac Jones. We don't need to throw for 500 yards today. We'll save that for Bo Nix. That's what's going to happen, and Kentucky fans are like, hey, what time's Big Blue Madness Friday night? What time's Kentucky play on Wednesday against Detroit Mercy? Morehead State? What time is that game? In Kentucky fans on that tweet to the show or text to the show 437-9680 UPS jobs text line. You can tweet, text me, and tell me I'm being a bad UK fan. No, I'm not. You're thinking the same thing. Don't lie and say, oh yeah, I'm really jacked up for this Alabama game. Look, I'm gonna talk about the Alabama game tomorrow. We're gonna talk on the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife post game show. We're gonna have a good time with Jason Dennis and Justin Jeffries, and it's a football game to watch. But deep down, you're not going to have a strong reaction one way or the other. Now, if Kentucky goes and loses like 70-0, then I'll think there'll be some strong reactions. But if they get beat, like you said, 48-14 or 38-14, whatever that score is, then I don't think Kentucky fans are going to be very emotional one way or the other. All right, let's take a little quick short break here. Come back on the other side. We got some Bellarmine basketball news to talk about, and we're going to play some Mike DeCourcy sound about the season as a whole for college basketball. So we'll take a break and do that. I'm James Strebel, Mitchell Hannigan. This is The Take, 105.7 ESPN 680.
Time now for The Take with James Strebel.
He's got the nerve. He's got the nerve to come on these airwaves and say that BS about Kentucky fans accepting mediocrity. Your entire fan base is accepting mediocrity right now. Right now, they're accepting mediocrity, Steve. They talked about it Monday, Tuesday, today. Talked about, well, we played Notre Dame tough. We played them tough. Guess what? You lost, Steve.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
There's some more college football. Tomorrow, our guy Jack Rothman is so happy and excited. He's shining He's in the studio right now, smiling ear to ear. You want to know why, Mitch? You know why, Mitch. Let me tell the people why. We've got Indiana at Ohio State at 11:30 a.m. on ESPN 680 105.7. And you also have Oklahoma State and Oklahoma 7:30 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. But the big news here, big news, the IU postgame show with Jack Grossman starts around 3 o'clock on ESPN 680 105.7. Our guy is, he's floating. He's floating around here, Mitch. He's floating on air. He's so excited to have the microphone all by himself, no one to interrupt, nobody to fight for microphone time with. Jack Grossman hosting the IU postgame show tomorrow starting around 3 o'clock after Hoosiers versus Buckeye. Also, let me talk to you about Kroger. Hey, Cards and Cats fans, check out Kroger home gating and tailgating rewards for November. Visit Kroger.com/fan rewards, Kroger.com/fan rewards for full detail. Customers get 1 point for every $1 spent on participating products. Rewards points can be used for things such as apparel. Turn my page here. Merchandise and memorabilia, and no limit on points you can earn. For more information is Kroger.com/fan rewards. As you heard during Young Mitchell's ESPN Sports Center, Bellarmine basketball postponing the first three games of the season because of some issues with the team. Not going to go too much in detail about that, but the first three games, and that's a big blow to Bellarmine. I mean, they're making moves. First year in Division One, we're going to carry their games.
Got to wait one more week. Division One Bellarmine Knights basketball.
And Scotty D, you know, going into Freedom Hall, that's a big deal. But like you said, one more week starting off for Bellarmine basketball. Kentucky and Louisville, as far as we know, are good to go on their first week of games starting next week during Thanksgiving. But it just goes back to the overall conversation, Mitch, that we had with Mike DeCourcy on Tuesday. And honestly, I was kind of surprised at DeCourcy's stance. You and I were kind of texting back and forth during the interview he had with Andy Sweeney, that he was very bullish on playing, and you know, he's not a guy that I expected to be like that. I thought he'd be very reserved and kind of cautious, but he's like, yeah, let's get these games played, let's get going, let's figure this out. College football has been for the most part a success. The NFL, the NBA for particular reasons, obviously with the bubble. MLB was able to get through their entire season, crown a champion. NBA able to get through their entire season, crown a champion. Looks like college football will be able to do the same. It looks like also the professional football will be able to do the same. So Mike DeCarcy's like, yeah, let's get going. College basketball can crown a champion. Mitch, do you have some sound? Or go ahead. You want to say something? Go ahead, and we'll play some DeCourcy sound.
Yeah, basically, I mean, and Diener and Crumb's Revenge talked about it this morning. I mean, the next six the season starts in 6 days.
Right.
We're going to see a lot of teams in these next 6 days, you know, have problems with COVID, quite right. frankly, and have to bow out of the MTEs or whatever bubble they're going to. And I agree. It makes no sense to push the season back because, I mean, nothing's going to change from here and January.
Right.
Absolutely nothing's going to change. In fact, it might be worse because everyone's going home for the holidays.
Well, actually, it might be better because, I mean, when you look at these college campuses, everybody's going to be going home except for the athletes, right? The basketball players are going to be staying. There's not going to be a lot of students for them to run into. And I think that most universities aren't coming back until like February. Okay. So I think that'll calm things down. I think we just need to just kind of wait, calm down, not act all doom and gloom like this thing's not going to happen. Let these issues work themselves out like they have with all the other sports, and then see what happens once the college students are off the campus and things become a little safer. I mean, these college basketball teams are going to essentially be in a bubble. I think Calipari has done a fantastic job of keeping his players in the Wildcat Lodge and just kind of away from everything and being very safe.
And if you notice, a lot of the teams have had to pause activities so far in quarantine. I mean, they're all mid-major schools.
And it's been like one person.
And they're all teams that really don't have the facilities or the resources like a Kentucky or Louisville to where, hey, you got your own facility in the Wildcat Lodge. Stay there. Don't leave. I mean, it's eat, sleep, breathe,
play your
basketball.
Video games.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a personal chef in there. They've got every – I mean, these college basketball, men's college basketball Division I players aren't wanting for anything.
That's why I think Power 5 schools will kind of be okay. I honestly don't think there's been a single Power 5 basketball school that's had, you know, issues with COVID yet. I mean, they've all been really mid-major level.
Sure. I think Seton Hall, but there, I mean, the Big East is not considered like Power 5, but it's a bigger basketball conference. I mean, you've had some like Big East teams, but you're right, Mitch. I mean, you haven't had like Duke or North Carolina or Kansas, Kentucky, Louisville. I mean, like Tom Izzo has COVID, but you haven't heard about any of the players. Jim Boeheim also has it. Haven't heard about any of the players. But to your point about some of these mid-majors, a lot of these dudes are like the team manager. It's like it's not even like players or coaches. It's like managers or trainers. But let's go ahead and play some DeCourcy Sound and his thoughts on getting the season not only played but crowning a champion and just playing it throughout its entirety.
The reality is there are going to be problems, and we have to and certainly we don't want anybody to be ill. And when I say problems, interruptions, disruptions, those sorts of things, a lot of that doesn't necessarily mean anybody's ill. With the way the COVID restrictions are written for basketball, You don't necessarily have to have anybody ill to have a shutdown. And we're going to have those. And we have to understand that there are going to be those, and we can't just whack the panic button every time a program has to take a break.
Yeah, I mean that's a good point. Like college football teams have had to take breaks. We've had to all adjust to this. I mean, look what's going on in Kentucky right now. I mean, we're having to take a break, and we'll get things started back again soon. You know, December 14th is the day when bars and restaurants can open in some capacity, and January 4th is when schools can go back in session. I mean, we've got to adjust to the virus. The answer is not just cancel everything and go stick your head in the sand or lock yourself in your basement. That's not going to do anybody any good at all. And I agree with DeCourcy on this. I mean, we'll see how things play out. I'm with you, Mitch. I think that the Power 5 schools will have this figured out. They'll do their little MTE bubbles or whatever it is. They'll play their I mean, Kentucky, I guarantee Kentucky and Kansas are going to be as isolated as they can be in Indianapolis. I guarantee it. And when they play these neutral court games against UCLA and whoever else they have, they're going to isolate. And they're going to put these visiting teams through their own protocols that, you know, Morehead State and Detroit Mercy and whoever else they have coming in, whoever Louisville has coming in early, their MTV with Evansville and so on. They're gonna make sure that they get the best testing and care possible.
I sure hope so, but you got to take into account right now. I mean, teams are just practicing, like they're in their own facilities. What's going to happen when these teams start traveling, start playing other teams?
Yeah,
that's my main worry. But the one thing, I mean, pushing the season back, I just think it's stupid.
Well, look what happened with the like college football pushing the season back. Like the Big Ten had multiple issues and they got pushed back. Pac-12 had multiple issues.
What conference has been dealing with COVID the most?
The Big Ten. The Big Ten. And they were the ones that were like, we'll push it all the way back to the winter. Like, dude, you push it back to the winter, you're going to have worse problems probably. And the best thing that the college football and the college basketball divisions could have done were to play when they were scheduled to play. Play when they were scheduled to play. Pushing things back haven't made anything any better. The Big Ten, the Pac-12 are proof of that. Don't talk about pushing it back to January 4th like Patino did. No, play the season, get started, and if issues arise, deal with the issues, okay? That's the cards we're dealt. Now, I don't know about the tournament, Mitch. I mean, you know, you say it's going to be in Indianapolis. I mean, I know Coach K had some very strong comments about that. I disagree.
That's the one thing I give credit to the NCAA for. At least they figured almost that part out.
They
didn't figure out the regular season. They're like, the hell with the regular season. You guys figure it out yourselves. But with the when it came to the tournament, they're like, all right, we have an idea. We have a plan. Let's see if we can. I mean, did you see I can't remember the source. It was the New York Times.
Uh-huh.
Someone from the New York Times. NCAA was like, all right, we've been hearing some flack about 13 games being the bare minimum for teams to qualify for the NCAA tournament. We're thinking about changing it to 12 games. Plus, you have to play one conference game. Like, what the hell does that solve?
I don't – nothing.
What does that solve?
Nothing.
Putting the minimum games played down from 13 to 12. And, oh, don't forget, you got to play at least one conference game. I mean, what –
you're just figuring this out now, six days before the season starts?
Maybe that's why ESPN, and we talked about this in the first hour, why ESPN hasn't really pushed college basketball. Maybe they just like, hey, we don't know how many games they're going to play. They might, you might have some teams that only play 12, 13, 14, 15 games out of 27 is the max that they can play. And it's just like, what's the point? We could have games being canceled left and right. You may be stuck watching Monmouth versus Evansville instead of Duke versus North Carolina, you know, depending on the situation. Yeah. And they're just putting all their chips in on the tournament. And I don't know what Coach K's like. That's not a good idea to host it in one spot. It's like, yeah, it is, dude. Isolate everybody. Put them all in one building and say you can't leave. That's what the NBA did. What's he talking about? It's not a good idea. It's because he's mad. And here's my hot take. He's mad he can't get his first round games in Greensboro, North Carolina. That's why he's all pissed off. I don't get to play in North Carolina. That's exactly what that's about. So go ahead, Mitch. You have a point.
It's going to be a mess. I mean, I just thinking of it from like a gambling point wise. I was discussing this on this gambling podcast I do every week called True Degenerate.
Oh yeah, the episode's up, right?
Yeah, we're talking. I mean, in football, I mean, it just came out now that Minnesota is going to miss 20 guys due to COVID today. They play Purdue in a couple hours.
Oh, that just came out. I didn't even see that. Minnesota's missing 20. I mean,
that's been the thing the whole season for football. I mean, oh, we didn't know Tutu Atwell, JV, we didn't know those guys were going to play till an hour before kickoff.
Right.
Imagine if we brought up the Villanova Boston College game. Say Villanova's a 6-point favorite. You lay Villanova in the six.
Yeah.
An hour before tip-off, you find out three of the starting five's out due to COVID.
Yeah, Kihei Clark.
Because, I mean, it's like...
What do you do?
You can't blame the schools and universities.
No, you can't.
Hiding it from the public because, I mean, it's personal information. It's health.
Sure.
You know, it's health...
Protocol.
Know, it's
that's what they're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just going to be an absolute mess. That's the one thing, like, get ready for this, Strebel. This is the one thing that... I'm praying to God does not happen with Kentucky versus Louisville. We need both these teams to be – I mean, you're not going to have Malik Williams for Louisville.
Right.
But, I mean, from just a COVID standpoint, you think the tum-tums were bad. If someone either of these fan bases, if someone misses this game due to COVID or, you know, missing practice, yeah, it builds an excuse and you're never going to hear the end of it.
Like, no.
It's just going to be a mess and, like, I don't know. It's bad.
It's like
it's just
this.
It's just bad.
It's bad all the way around, man. And look, I get it. They have to play. I mean, these schools have to play, man, or they're going to lose their shirts and they're going to fire more people and more people are going to be impacted negatively if they don't play. That's the thing, man, is like, I get it. It sucks. It's not fun to watch sometimes because you don't have your full rosters, but I understand that the positions that these athletic departments are in, that the coaches, the players want to play, like they, especially these, I mean, you listen to Kentucky basketball players talk and, you know, they're bummed out that they're not getting the entire college basketball experience that they thought they were going to have when they signed with these teams back before all this, you know, bleep hit the fan, you know, last year. But if you take their season away, it's going to be they're going to be devastated. They're going to be absolutely devastated if they can't. They're already getting part of their time taken. You know, they're not playing all the games and they're not getting to live like a normal college student. All they want to do now, they're just focused on playing basketball, staying healthy, and at least getting to the tournament and performing, you know, at the tournament. I do think, Mitch, that there were some college basketball players in this draft that were hurt because they weren't able to play in the tournament. I mean, how many times have we talked about college basketball players showing out in the tournament and maybe getting bumped up a couple spots in the NBA draft? We talk about that every season, like a dude like Kemba Walker just showing out in the college basketball tournament and becoming a high-end first-round lottery draft pick. I don't know if you would have had that if not for the Big East tournament and the NCAA tournament. But, I mean, that's a huge stage for these guys, and to have it taken away from them a second season in a row and then leave their futures in limbo, it just isn't fair. So I understand that that they need to be careful, they need to be safe, and they need to be serious about the virus. We all do. And I think the Power Five basketball teams are going to be able to do that for the most part. That's not saying that it's going to be perfect. That's not saying that we won't see issues, because we will. But playing this season is important. Getting to March and the tournament
is important. All right, Mitch, coming up on the other side of things, we'll kind of re-rack, talk a little bit more Syracuse and Louisville football. We got a ton of sound to play. We need to get to the text line, 437-9680. We got the mixtape coming up about 425. We'll talk about that as well. I'm Gene Strebel. Mitchell Hannigan is the take on ESPN 680 105.7. All right, week 10 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for week 11. There's no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add to the excitement of week 11, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when signing up using promo code WHBE. DraftKings Sportsbook has endless ways for you to bet, from live betting to betting on your favorite players. They do it all. Don't worry if football isn't for you. DraftKings is giving all MMA fans who sign up now the chance to triple their winnings for any bet placed on UFC 255. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code WHBE when you sign up and get up to $1,000. That's code WHBE to get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook. Book for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Pay off your holiday bills with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker and earn $14.50 per hour to start, plus a $200 sign-on bonus and up to $1,200 in additional bonuses over the holiday season. Be a part of an industry-leading organization that believes in promoting from within. Enjoy an active job with big-time growth opportunities. Become a warehouse worker at UPS. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/worldport. That's upsjobs.com/worldport.
Katie George here for Coil Automotive in Clarksville. Coil's Black Friday sales event is going on now. Save thousands on over 400 new Chevrolets, Buicks, and GMCs in stock and in one convenient location. Plus, on Friday, November 27th, you will have the chance to buy a 2015 Chevy Impala for $5. Yes, $5. Head over to coildeals.com for all the details and find your next car, truck, or SUV today. Coil, where the flag is flying and Kentuckiana is buying.
Come on!
Must register for chance to purchase Impala.